Guys of a Certain Age is brought to you by no one. Absolutely no one. Except these dudes walking down memory lane. Now let's head to the studio to see what they misremember next.
It's the podcast that even Mikey likes. It's Guys of a Certain Age. Robbie Koblenson studio alongside
Art Shirley.
And Mikey.
Mikey. You look a little bit like
Mikey. I was
Mikey.
Mistaken for it. Well, not mistaken for him, but I did resemble him quite a bit back when I was his age and had hair.
Did you used to sign life boxes when you were... Hey, Mikey.
I should have.
Yeah.
Mikey, should now.
Maybe we could do that next time we make a public appearance. We'll bring a bunch of life.
That'll be our swag.
Yeah.
Our swag. Scientific wise, at no.
From the swagalog.
I'm signing close to end of life boxes.
Wow, that's awesome.
Burial insurance policy.
Hi, are you about to die or know someone who is?
Oh, wow. Sorry. End of life boxes. That's kind of funny.
I guess that's what a coffin would be.
An end of life
box. More or less, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
End of life box.
That's right. I forgot you had been mistaken for Mikey in a previous incarnation.
Mikey and the other one in that era was Adam Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Eight is Enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But Mikey more, because Mikey was, we had like the same thick, dark hair.
Yeah.
And yeah.
What happened?
I don't know.
Life.
Life definitely happened. It is gone.
You had a full head of hair before you got married, right?
I did.
I'm not saying anything. You know, I'm just, most guys don't start losing their hair until after they get married.
Then the children and boom.
Or they don't go gray until after they get married.
Gray.
Wow. So anyway, all right. Let's jump into some Geeks of the Week before I get us into any more trouble.
I had a thought about, just a general thought about Geeks of the Week. How
I tell you, he's taking over.
He's taking over our recording. Well, I'm the one that sits and thinks about this, right?
Oh, you're saying we're stupid?
No, we just don't sit and think about it.
2 hours ago, I'm like, what are we going to talk about today? That's what I mean by thinking about
don't
it.
Don't give away our secrets.
Oh, I think the secret is out.
The secret of our success.
No, I'm just thinking how we record early, like smart podcasters would do. So maybe we need to call this Geek of a Week. Because by the time people hear this, it might not be the week that they're listening. You know what I mean? Like, trailer just dropped. Oh, that was...
Well, you know, Jay, we've compensated for that with your, hey, I just read this in Popular Mechanics for a while.
True. There's a balance, right?
Now suddenly that you're current on your Geeks, you want to change the name of it.
Well, he's got his own segment now,
too. Yeah, he sure does.
True that.
You know? As regrettable as it may be.
I mean, he's taking over.
That's right. He is.
Maybe we should break away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, well, Geeks of a Week, who's got one? Jay, why don't you start? I'm gonna put you on the hot seat.
I've got one. I've got a cool one. Once again, an action sort of, I don't know if this is a comic book thing, but I know a comic book movie director is directing, although I don't know his name. But the trailer dropped for Borderlands this week, which I was not anticipating. Don't know really anything about it aside from the trailer. But the cast is intriguing. He's got Kate Blanchett, Lee Curtis, Jack Black, Kevin Hart.
Folks who need it money.
I'm going to butcher, is it Ariana Greenblatt or something like this? Okay. Young actress. And then there's a couple of other mask figures that show up a lot that didn't get, you know, the billing. But
I see.
It looks like it's kind of futuristic.
It's an action role-playing first-person looter shooter video game set in a space western science fantasy setting.
That fits what I saw in the trailer. That's exactly. So it was a game. It was a video game. It's been made kind of like a...
Sounds a little Firefly-esque.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I just thought this is a great cast.
Black. Yeah.
Like you said, it may be money grab for all of them, but it looks to me like a movie that either is going to be really, really good, action-packed, fun, or it's just going to crash and burn.
I think
where is it going to... Is it in theaters or is it...
It just says coming soon.
It's a Lionsgate, so it's going to be in theaters.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating that they're going for the cult favorite status.
Yeah.
That they'll be panned with, especially, you know, I like Kevin Hart, but Kevin Hart in something like this, I don't know.
Yeah, and Jack Black is the voice of this little robot.
Yeah, I'm watching the trailer even as we speak. Yeah, they're going for cult.
Kind of the Jumanji movies. Type of...
Yeah. They've got their own little mystery machine.
The Rock is not in it.
No. But the first Jumanji was great.
Oh yeah, I never saw the second one. It may have been great too, but I never saw it.
Yeah,
but the first one.
The first one. Sorry, the Robin Williams.
Robin Williams is what we're talking about, right?
The original Jumanji.
I did see the first one with Rock, and it was entertaining. I didn't see anything.
I think I saw the second one, but I can't remember.
She has rabbit ears on.
Yeah. The Ariana Greenblatt character. I don't know what her name is in the show.
Wow. This looks like, it looks like Scooby-Doo on acid, written by George Miller, directed by Zack Snyder.
Oh.
I mean,
really?
That's
Zack Snyder?
Oh, it looks like that.
It looks like
that. It looks like it. Okay. I'm just saying, it really does. I mean, this is Scooby-Doo in a space western on acid. I mean, they've got the mystery machine and everything. Anyway, so.
So who wouldn't see that?
Probably
us.
Yeah. We'll see it once it hits a streaming service at some point,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, so. It's post-production now, but they are dropping the trailers. And it has that sort of, that video game superhero kind of a fantasy thing. So I thought it'd be interesting to some of our listeners.
This looks like this is audio only, Jay. So,
the phone up to the microphone.
Okay. So anyway, there you have it.
So yeah, Eli Borderline. Roth. What did Eli Roth do?
Oh, Eli Roth has done. Did he do Thanksgiving?
Director, writer, Thanksgiving. Yes, that is on his list here. Inglourious.
Might be very twisted horror movie kind of guy.
Fun, it might be better than what we thought.
Yeah, I mean, he's
what else is
but
Eli
he's
Roth
very though? Much fits into that idea. Hostile. Of a cult favorite.
Mm-hmm. He was in Inglourious Bastards. He's a actor as well.
Okay,
he was the director of The House with the Clock in Its Walls, which I was very disappointed in. So much
that's
so
a Jack Black movie too, right?
Yeah, I love that book, and I could not. That was just a great book. So he directed Grindhouse.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Hostel Part 2. Mm-hmm.
Not Grindhouse by Quentin Tarantino or Robert Rodriguez, but a separate movie called Grindhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Chowderheads. He directed Chowderheads, a series back in 1999. So, anyway.
Was Ben Affleck in that?
I don't know.
What are you doing? I
don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Donkeys! So, what a great commercial.
They got to name a coffee after us.
When I said I'd do anything for you,
Robinson?
When I said I'd do anything for you, this is anything. Yeah, it's kind of probably the way that Jay feels about this podcast. Anyway, so do you think you'll go to the theaters to watch it? No.
I don't know about that.
I wonder if we should do a
pretty high bar for me to go to the theater right now.
Really?
No, I mean, for me to actually go to the theater and see a movie, I really want to have to see it in the theater.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way right now. I haven't seen anything for a while. Well, we saw Boys in the Boat. I guess it was the last one we saw.
Okay.
I cannot wait for Dune Part 2, which it's a pass for Art and a potential yay for Jay. Yeah. So that's next weekend.
Oh, really? Coming sooner.
Coming sooner.
Coming sooner than I thought.
Yeah.
Dooner.
Coming sooner. Actually, David wants to go as well. I think I mentioned that. So the three of us can go.
Yeah, somewhere. And just to... Another
David
late
can take my place in the review afterwards.
Late pitch to a local thing that I think y'all have been to before. The Mag is this weekend.
That's right.
Film Festival. Are you going to any of the?
Not only have I been to the Mag, but I've won Audience Choice Award at the Mag.
Rock and roll.
2013.
And I was the projectionist for the first Mag. Okay. That's when I tore up Robbie. I didn't tear it up. That's when I opened up.
That's how we met.
That's how we met.
Well, I was a film previewer 1 year. So we've all had a little part.
Yeah.
But y'all probably had, you won an award. I didn't win.
Yeah. I did not
win an award.
Leg lamp.
What's that? No, it's a beautiful glass magnolia that, stained glass magnolia.
That was for One Night in March.
It was for One Night in March, which is airing Monday night. Which will be 3 weeks in your future.
Geek of a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Geek of any week.
Okay, well, let's get on.
Okay, mine is about the recent moon landing, which seems to be something that very few people seem to realize has happened. It was, what's today, February 26th? It was February 25th, I guess. So it's a geek of that. This is a geek of that week. NASA, actually Intuitive Machines is the one that built and paid for all the
These
the
are lander. Folks who do QuickBooks?
Yeah, Intuitive Machines. Intuit? That's Intuit, yeah. This is Intuitive Machines. I guess they probably, you know, had to add the IV to keep from getting sued. But anyway, probably so. They're the ones that, you know, paid for and built the lander in conjunction with NASA. And it was just about to all go up in flames. It looked like it was not going to happen because the guidance detection system, the guidance system that was built in, was supposed to be used to land the lander, didn't work. So they had to use something that NASA had put on board as part of their payload. They took an extra orbit lap in order to get things working, and then went for it and it landed. And we all, I watched it live. We all waited for 15 minutes to hear confirmation that there was communication. We're still not sure at this point, as we record, what position the lander's in.
It's upside down like a cockroach.
And unfortunately, one thing that did fail was the camera package that was supposed to eject early enough to be able to take video of the of the landing didn't happen. So conspiracy theorists are already thinking, this isn't really something that's going on. I mean, we're sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden all the screens on CNN just went black. And I'm like, okay.
After it's
like,
the cell phones,
it's like,
you know.
It's like radio at this point. You know,
so we managed it in 1969, but couldn't seem to manage it in 2024.
Yeah, it's been over 50 years. It's been 51 and change years since the U.S. has been on the moon. We've had other countries that have landed something on the moon. China did something in it. It, you know, kind of toppled over in the soft.
According to Intuitive landing. Machines mm-hmm. post on X, formerly known as Twitter,
yes.
the spacecraft was, quote, upright and starting to send data.
Okay, good.
End quote.
Okay. What are they looking for?
Life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah, they are hoping. They've landed at the South Pole, which was supposed to be a particularly tricky thing to do. They're hoping to find maybe some water there or indication
it would be
that
ice.
There was
it would
yeah,
be.
Wise, which is still water. It's just a frozen state of water.
And then vanilla ice pops up, you know.
Maybe. Oh, we get sued. But so yeah, that's exciting to me. And then the plan is for the Artemis, which is the follow up to the Apollo missions. The Artemis thing will land people on the moon in 2026. And I think there's a guy named Ed Baldwin that's scheduled to fly that mission.
Hey, you guys, get off my moon.
He's not the curmudgeon yet. Well, actually, I guess he would be at this point.
He was starting to.
By this time,
he would say, hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Right. Hi, Bob. Yeah. So
we ought to talk about that show. We already did.
That was last week. That's last week. So, all right. Well, good.
So, anyway, that's exciting.
Artemis.
That is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Apollo, Odysseus, whoever.
Yeah. Or Odious.
Odious.
It's Miles. I can't remember Miles' last name. On. They had CNN had Mae Johnson.
Miles Bryan.
Miles Bryan, yeah.
Yeah.
Mispronounced it and said Odious. And William Shatner was also one of the guests on there. Talking about it and
Spock,
yeah, that pretty much. But he said there are some things that might be odious about it.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. So, nice, good geek. So, of any week.
Check your calendar.
Anytime we land on the moon, it's a great geek. Yeah. So, this week as we record, Isabella Merced, who is playing Hawk Girl in the upcoming James Gunn helmed Superman Legacy, tweeted out her nameplate at the table read.
I bet you weren't supposed to do that.
I don't know. It looks a little planned. What's interesting is the logo, the Superman logo being used, is the Kingdom Come Superman logo.
Wow.
Which is a lot more abstract and Kryptonian than mm-hmm. the typical kind of rounded big fat S. So there's speculation that James Gunn could be borrowing a few plot elements from Kingdom Come. Now, to refresh those, NJ, who probably didn't read Kingdom Come, it's set in the future after Superman and the what we know as the Justice League now have retired, and there's a second or third generation of amoral superheroes who are just, they're just tearing stuff up, and Superman comes out of retirement and kind of comes and kicks their butt.
Yeah.
If you recall, the James Gunn has said the plot point for Superman Legacy is the fact that Superman will be coming into a world that's already populated by heroes.
Yeah.
So is he going to come in and form a Justice League to put down some of these Kingdom Come-esque superheroes or not? So, but anyway.
I saw a picture of the cast talking about the table read. And is it Dev from...
Dev Patel?
Dev from For All Mankind. Is he in it? I thought I saw him out the corner. The guy that plays Dev, yeah, obviously. But I can't remember.
Who was one of the X-Men at one point.
I think, okay. I think he might be in it.
Okay.
If you say so.
I do.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
It's froggy now.
Right.
From
The X-Men are coming out.
Well, anyway, that
was my Boston accent.
I'm starting to look forward to this movie,
yeah,
because I wasn't that thrilled about it, to be honest with you, because DC hasn't gotten anything right yet. Right. So anyway.
Yeah. So pretty Aquaman comes to HBO Max the end of this month, February.
Yeah.
I think maybe tomorrow night.
Yeah, as we record. You going to watch it?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I kept, resisting.
Nothing else better to do.
I didn't go see it in the theater, which was, kind of unusual, I guess. But and then never rented it for the in-theater price of $20 and then buy it for $25. But yeah, I'll wait until it comes on Max and watch it and see what it is. But
yeah,
that is officially the last of the movies tied to the Snyderverse that will be made, right?
That's right. Okay.
So yeah, he's going to be Mr. Terrific in the
Okay, Superman. Okay.
Who is?
Dev.
Okay, nice.
A.K.A. Eddie Gathegi.
His real name? That's the actor's name?
That's the actor's name.
Yeah.
E.D.I. Well, or Eddie.
Well, hopefully Aquaman won't be regrettable as we turn to...
Yeah, I completely...
Jay's Regrettable Segment, nice. Brought to you by Hymns. Not the medicine that it cures baldness, but actual hymns in church, because we need prayer to get through this regrettable segment.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
How long did it take you to come up with that?
When we started talking about baldness.
So just a quick re-look at last week. I realized some of these...
Do we have two?
Some of these
Last week on Jay's Regrettable Segment...
I just want to give credit where credit's due.
We can't.
Some
turn
of
him
them
off.
Have more than one page, and Doll Man actually had another page saying that he
you didn't ended up read.
In BNC. No, I read it. I just read it a long time ago. But he, you said you recognized him, right?
Yes.
So
Jay's Regrettable Segment.
Apparently, he was
the only one that was 6 inches tall in the room.
Right. Several revivals, including
revitals.
Revisions.
Revitals. That's leftovers.
Revivals.
Revivals.
Yeah, we're talking about hymns.
Okay.
Revivals and in DC and everything. Anyway, today our hero, regrettable or not, is Dynamite Thor.
Dynamite Thor.
You might think it has something to do with Thor of Marvel fame, but no, it does not.
It's not Thor Odinson.
It's not played by Rudy Ray Moore, right?
No, it is a guy named Peter Thor, who is a guess what? Explosives expert. Dynamite Thor.
I'm going to recuse myself from the rest of this conversation. The man's name is Peter Thor.
Peter Thor.
Okay.
Yep. He's a dynamite expert, explosive, and his power is that through his expertise, he's figured out how to be invulnerable to anything explosive. He can still...
Anything explosive.
Yeah. He can still be killed by a bullet or a lead pipe.
It's a very specific
in the library.
Invulnerability.
That's his power. So there's not much going on here. He
kind of like this podcast.
He can fly, but he has a belt of dynamite, and he
ignites
the dynamite to go up, and then another one to go sideways, and multiple to go. Really, really fast. And
this is horrible.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty
it's
bad.
It's beyond regrettable.
He has something called a neutron shield, which was not ever explained.
Not to be confused with neutron dance.
Yeah. He's got in the one page of the comic here, he's got kind of a red shirt. Kind of looks like Dollman because he's got short shorts, blue short shorts, and a red top. But it says that his wardrobe was... that he never wore the same outfit twice.
Because so it blew up?
A man of... That may be.
He did not have a...
He didn't have what's-her-name from The Incredibles making his uniform.
Oh, darling.
Her. Yeah, her. So I don't know. This one is, when you look at it from the standpoint of would it survive today, would it make a good series or movie or even a comic book? I'm saying regrettable.
I don't even think it makes a good regrettable segment.
Well, that's yeah. pretty, that's just, okay, well.
Yeah, I think it's definitely regrettable.
We will,
although
we will
I would like to see an action scene of him flying by controlling his actions through dynamite.
Through dynamite, yeah. Well, it said that he was invulnerable to it, but the people around him were not, so that might be even worse.
So he didn't have like a Lois Lane he could rescue in flight because as soon as he changed direction, she would be dead.
There was no sidekick listed here, no lady friend.
Sidekick.
1940 Weird Comics. It's got Blue Beetle on the top of the page.
The only thing that would be better if his name was really was actually Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy
Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Good times.
Okay. Well, great show.
Definitely revealing our age, as we are about to reveal even more.
We're going to talk Gilded Age up next. And we're back. We're going to talk Gilded Age Season 2, which just wrapped a few 5, 6, 8 weeks ago on HBO Max, or excuse me, Max. Are we talking the show or are we talking Art's childhood? Ouch.
Ghost written.
Would that be more the aluminum age for Art Shaw?
Stone age.
That's it. So, yeah, I have to say that was Jay's joke.
Joe's been a joke.
What's your name again?
Jay, the Joker.
Joke segment.
Joe's regrettable Jakes. What though?
Joe's regrettable Jays. Is that what you said?
Jakes.
So, what'd you guys think about Gilded? Well, number one, I don't think we did
season one.
We didn't do season. So
it's really outside of our genre a little bit.
We just watched it because our wives.
But there are
connections to Marvel. That's right. Carrie Coon was in. I can't remember what
she's
character
she played.
She's one
of Thanos' daughters or sidekicks or something.
Yeah. So. And what other Marvel connection?
I don't know.
Was that it? Well, to me, it was kind of fascinating because it was created and written by Julian Fellowes, who did Downton Abbey over at the BBC, which public broadcast stations in the U.S. loved because it was the pinnacle of their fundraising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when they...
Oh, I've got a cool thing I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
So they would...
So like the finale would always be during Beg Week.
Yeah, it really would. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Beg Week, what's the name of the place? Hold on.
I thought you were about to ask for donations for the podcast.
Well, we probably need some, but let's see if I can find it really cool. KTWU, which is the PBS station in Topeka, is airing One Night March during Pledge Week on March the 6th at 7 o'clock.
How about that? Are they calling you up there to be a guest?
No, but they've asked for DVDs that they can give to viewers for pledges.
Wow, so that's cool. That's very
cool. It really is. And it was great. The program director reached out and said, hey, we are showing your masterpiece on Wednesday, March the 6th. I thought, how did they get a video version of Guys of a Certain Age? Yeah. Then I realized.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, back to the Gilded Age. Created by Julian Fellowes, HBO Max said, hey, give us some of that PBS money. We won't be highfalutin. And so he created basically the American version of Downton Abbey that takes place roughly at the same time. Right. Called the Gilded Age.
And it's the introduction of new money versus the old money into the New York society.
Right.
That's right. So there's plenty of actual people that are presented in the story, but the family themselves that represent the new money are fictional.
Yes.
Yes. He's a railroad tycoon, baron, or whatever.
Magnate.
Magnato. But you have to call him that to keep it in the genre.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, but I think it's, I enjoyed the second season more than the first season.
I did too.
I think they kind of felt found their groove a little bit better.
Yeah. And, who is the guy who plays the bald headed servant in season two?
His daughter.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think he was in Fringe.
Oh, okay.
Michael.
Yeah.
Cervelli or something like that.
Yeah, I think he was in Fringe.
Yeah, and a lot of these folks, you'll recognize their faces.
Yeah.
You know, you'll say, I've seen this person somewhere. Now, one face that may look familiar just because of her mother is the lead actress, who I don't know the lead actress's name, and I can't remember the character's name now, but it's Meryl Streep's daughter.
Oh, Louisa Jacobson?
Yes, thank you.
I've been studying IMDb today.
Who does she play?
She plays the
main character.
The cousin that comes in and lives with the old ladies. They're not Spencers because one of them's widowed.
Marion Brooke?
Yes. Miss Brooke.
Miss Brooke, a penniless young gentlewoman whose circumstances force her to live with her estranged aunts. So she's whose daughter?
Meryl Streep's daughter.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of Patrick Page was in Spirited, which that's the only place I'd seen him. He played Jacob Morley, right? I'm saying that right?
Oh, yeah.
He was in that. And then what I think is the most interesting transformation, though, is Cynthia Nixon to go from Sex in the City to the biggest prude of the Gilded Age.
To celibacy in the city. So, yeah.
Course, sexless Nathan, in the city.
Sorry, Mrs. Street. Yeah. So
The Dead Poet Society guy comes along, and then
that's right.
He was in Dead Poet Society.
Yeah,
the pastor. Yeah, uh-huh. The preacher.
What's his
name?
He
was one of the main. Robert Sean Leonard is his actor's name.
And spoiler alert: now he's Dead Pastor Society.
What was he? Was he the guy who killed the main?
Yeah,
he's the guy who killed himself.
Yeah.
Oh wow! Spoiler alert from Dead Poet Society. Oh, Captain,
I think was Geek of the Week last week. Yeah. Hey, there's this movie that just came out.
Yeah,
so, a decade.
Yeah, and his dad, who was on that '70s show, wouldn't let him perform.
Yes, like Red.
Yeah. Red wouldn't let. Yeah. Wow, that is him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in much since then, but he was in that. Of course, Nathan Lane. One of my favorite characters and played it very well. I just, you know, Nathan is so, he's in so much that's funny.
It's hard to take him seriously.
Yeah.
But he plays it well, and the character is just over the top and great.
Yeah, and I think he, I don't know if the person he plays.
Is a real person?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Ward McAllister. Yeah, he's a real person.
Mm-hmm. And there's this season two, one of the main things that, there's a couple of things that formed the storyline of it, actually several things, but there's the creation of the Metropolitan Opera.
Yes.
Which is weird to think about it not being the main thing at the time, but you know, it's like they're the upstart opera, and then you think, the Met, I mean, good grief.
You kind of feel like an insider because you know the Met is the one that survives.
The Brooklyn Bridge, the story of the engineer that the wife actually
took. That's based on the story.
Yeah.
Now, I think she got more recognition. Now, granted, because of the time, she didn't get the recognition she deserved, but I do think she got more recognition than they led you to believe in the show.
You had Clara Barton, who's founder of the American Red Cross.
Yeah, she's been in there.
Yeah.
A lot of the, let's see, who is?
The Astors.
Yeah, the Astors, yeah.
And Mr. Russell, supposedly based on, I think, Jay Gould, but he's also in one of the characters.
Right. Jay Gould, the actual person, is a character, but that's who Russell, Mr. Russell is based on. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of those old money guys that are.
Now, the thing that I didn't like as much about the first season is that there was not as much of the contrast between the upstairs and downstairs that there had been in Downton Abbey and in upstairs and downstairs too. It was more the contrast between new money and old money, but you do see the lives of the people that serve both of these folks and all the rules and all the improprieties and things, mm-hmm. that you have to, be aware of.
And I think you're right. In season two, you see a lot more of that. Yes. You see where the lady's maid becomes the gentlewoman.
Yes.
And starts, chaos ensues when she comes back onto the scene. And then you've got the valet.
Yes.
Who used to be a gentleman. Uh-huh. And his daughter shows up as
Michael Cervelas.
Yeah, that one guy, Watson. He, there's a lot of that interplay, and you see how people can move from one situation to another. And then I also like the storyline of the kid who reinvented the alarm clock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and got in the Watchmakers Guild or whatever they call it and got his patent and all that. It was a very small storyline, but it was encouraging.
And one of the guys, one of the sons, the son of the Russell son, I guess uh-huh. is who it is, was in, I think he was in Dunkirk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Jean Triplehorn, who was in
the first season. Yeah.
She didn't have a very big
role. She was
role.
In Waterworld.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And Basic Instinct. Uh-huh.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
she was right. season one, right?
She was season one.
And she was kind of one of, was she a widow? And
she is. She was Sylvia Chamberlain, a socialite excluded from high society due to past actions.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And there's a lot of that where you go, you're not supposed to hang out with this person.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they went down to, was it Tuskegee Institute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was emotional. Yeah.
So it's weird when you think about all, like I said, the storylines, I think about one and then you go, well, this happened. So there's a lot of it going on.
Yeah. And the Booker T. Washington, another real life person, was a very big part of that.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that was fascinating to me about this, I thought it was well written. It took a season to get up to speed.
But I think the second season, and the first season was not bad.
Yeah.
It just never, this isn't Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
And by the second season, you're starting, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with familiarity with the characters.
Yeah.
But it felt more put together. It just felt like it really fit.
Well, I will tell you, the effects work is unbelievable. What they've
and
done
that's why we're make, that's why we're mentioning this.
What
but it really
done,
is. Yeah.
What they've done to make turn of the century New York City. Yeah. I mean, incredible.
Because all that stuff has to be 3D generated.
Yeah, it's all 3D generated. Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know how much of it is shot in a volume space or how much is a traditional green screen, but it just looks unbelievable. Mm-hmm. To me, it looks a little bit better than maybe Downton Abbey did. Of course, Downton Abbey shot a lot of stuff on location, but they did use some effects work. So,
yeah. But so much of what they have to shoot, just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Or so completely changed now.
One thing that's interesting is it was originally going to be an NBC series.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was announced in 2018, and then May of 2019, it went to HBO. So, and then it took 3 years to get it online because obviously it was happening during COVID. So, pretty fascinating.
And it has been greenlit for a third season.
Yeah.
Although the season finale, this one could have been a series finale. I mean, there's still a lot of loose ends to it, but they tied up some. Mm-hmm. And they tend to do that, it seems like, more so than some. That there will be some type of cliffhanger, but a lot of times most of the things are resolved.
I can't even imagine what their budget per episode is between all the characters they've got in, the actors who are...
Yeah.
Who are primary, and then the guest stars aren't cheap, and then the effects budget, it's got to be, if I only had a device,
So Max may have its own big week by the, by the next one.
Yeah, Christine Baranski was the other great. Agnes, and she was great.
She's great in everything she's in.
Yeah, she's in, the Christmas Grinch. I didn't realize at first that she was in the Grinch. Uh-huh. But she's just like a character you kind of have some sympathy for at one point, but it's kind of but then you love go, to hate.
Yeah. Oh, you can't. She can't be this bad. She can't be this bad.
Which is why I love the very end of season two when the tide turns and she.
Yeah, that
it
was
wasn't her fault, but now she's not in charge anymore.
Right. Right. And that and the and servants Ada. Defer to. Yeah.
That was classic.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, and I really like the character of Oscar Van Ryn, and I the one that. Lost the money that had that happen and what happened to him. I don't like all of his
all of his traits
okay. but he seems like just as a person was an interesting person. And
well, I think what happened too is he has become more three-dimensional as the series has gone on. Mm-hmm. So where he just seemed to be, and this happened with Downton Abbey too, where you had some of the characters that just seemed to be just bad, or this is the bad guy. With him, even though he still does bad things like, trying to get that girl to marry him, whatever.
Yeah.
But, there does seem to be, and the actor that's playing him, I think, is very good and able to, give you a little sympathy for the character. But they've added some dimension, and to me, they've done that throughout the whole cast. Everybody seems to have more. The whole thing with Mr. and Mrs. Russell's, spat or whatever that they had over the former, what was she, a lady's maid that became a gentlewoman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on Doctor Who, it says.
What?
Which one?
Oscar Van Ryn, Major McLean, 2016 to 2021.
I've seen that guy before. Like I said, I've seen most of these actors before. I just can't remember where. I think they were character actors, or they may have been, you know, bit parts.
So is it recommendable? We have the regrettable segment. Is it a recommended Guys of a Certain Age series?
Oh, for sure.
I think three guys. What do we say? What's our thing? Three guys.
Three guys.
Three guys.
Yeah. Three out of three guys agree. So it's all episodes are streaming now on Max, previous HBO and Max.
From what we understand, it has been greenlit for a third season.
Yeah, and then another connection. Did y'all watch Studio? Was it Station 11?
Yeah.
A while back?
Yeah.
The Matilda Lawler, the little girl that plays the daughter of Miss Brooks' cousin that she almost marries. She was in Station 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was like, I recognize her. Like you said, you see this face. Uh-huh. I've seen her before.
She would change some just because she's gotten a little older.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, so I had to look her up, but that's where I'd seen her.
Yeah.
So another geek connection, geekish.
Lots of geeks there. You can't get away from being geeky, can you?
I know. Well, everybody wants to be a geek.
Now they do. That wasn't the case 40 years ago. Let me tell you.
Look at that. Yeah,
you look at the age.
Yeah.
Borderlands cast, you look at the Superman Legacy cast. I mean, people want it.
Well, I mean, comic books and geek stuff means money nowadays. I mean, it's the lost beatitude. The geek shall inherit the earth, you know? So. All right, on that note, we're going to say goodbye. We'll see you next time around.